Well, good morning. It is so good to be back here. It's been a while since I've been up here, and isn't this weather wonderful? I love fall. Well, I hope you've all been inspired going through the Book of Psalms. As I said in the very first lesson, the most important thing we can do this side of heaven is tend to our relationship with our Lord, because anything that we do, anything that has any lasting value, comes from that relationship. And so there's no better way to spend your time than tending to your relationship with the Lord. I also mentioned the whole book of Psalms is an example of different aspects of your relationship with the Lord. So we started out with wisdom, two wise things to always keep in mind. When it comes to our spiritual relationship, is that the importance of God's word. You can't say you love Jesus without loving his word, because he is the word. Jesus said, "I am the word." The second thing that's wise to always understand is that he has all authority. He's the only one that has the right to say what's right and what's wrong. We don't have that right. Our culture doesn't have that right. He is the only one. So it's wise to keep those two things in mind. And then Becca talked about praise, which praise is such a natural thing to do. The more you get intimate with the Lord and you really see how awesome he is. And then Kate talked about lamenting. One of the things in any relationship is conversing back and forth. And so God wants you to come to him with your sorrows, with your joys, with everything that's on your heart. He wants that. That's part of any relationship, is to be honest. And then, to be honest with you, I didn't know what imprecations was, but Jennifer did a good job talking about it's the frustrations of the injustices in this world. And God wants you to bring those to him. And that's a lot like lamenting. And then last week, Becca talked about trust. In any relationship, there has to be trust. There has to be trust, and especially in this one. And so today, I was thrilled to get scheduled for Thanksgiving, because it's such a happy, wonderful topic to talk about. And the difference between praise and thanksgiving: praise is for God's awesomeness. Thanksgiving is thanking him for specific things. And so with that, let's pray, and then we'll get started with our lesson today. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you. I thank you for every person here. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, and I pray that your Holy Spirit moves our heart. Softens it where it needs to be softened. Thank you, Lord, for just your word and how good you are. And I just pray, be with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know that 20% of the Psalms are Psalms of Thanksgiving? Like what we just read, Psalm 136, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." And then the author lists specific things that he's thankful for. Like verse 3, "My enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before you, for you have upheld my right and my cause. You have sat on your throne, judging righteously." I want you to notice that not once in this whole psalm did David take any credit. This came after lots of victories over their enemies. Not once do you hear him say, "Man, I am good. It's a good thing you chose me to be king, because look what I can do." Not once. He boasted only in the Lord. We can go to the New Testament, Ephesians 5:20. It says, "Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's a lot of thank yous. When you realize that everything comes from God, we should just be continually saying, "Oh my gosh, thank you. Thank you for this." Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So I believe it's really clear in Scripture, this is God's will for us. In fact, I have no doubt in that. And I'll tell you why in just a second. So, three things we're going to cover today. Why is giving thanks so important? The second thing is, what does it look like to have a thankful heart? And finally, what are some practical everyday things that we can do to develop a thankful heart? So the first, why is it important? The number one reason is it is God's will, and we really wouldn't have to give any other reasons than that. But 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 tells us this, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Is this written as a suggestion? It's written as a command. And just out of obedience, that's really all we need to say about that. But one of the things that helps me to write teaching material is I pay attention to questions. So when I began to pray about this topic, and I was just asking the Lord, from what angle do you want me to go with this? Immediately, the question came to me, why? Why would that be a command? Because here's what I know, God doesn't need it. God doesn't need our thanks. Just like it would be nice if our kids thanked us every once in a while, but we don't need it. And we do a million things for them. So if there's only me and God in our relationship, and he doesn't need it, and yet he commands it, it must mean, and I know he's motivated by love, it must be me who needs to give it. So then my next question is, why? Why would that be? And so I've come up with a few things. The first one is from Psalm 123:1-2. It says, I lift up my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven, as the eyes of slaves look at the hand of their master. So our eyes look to the Lord our God. Could it be that God, through thanksgiving, is showing us a way to keep our eyes focused on him? Is it easy for us to get our focus off of God? Yes. Yes, we are all like sheep, we go astray. This is one practical way to keep your eyes focused on him, and he knows that. And then it also keeps us humble. 1 Corinthians 1:31 says, let the one who boasts, boast only in the Lord. And I know God loves a humble heart. It's the humble heart that he can work with. I know that God is always, we are in the middle of being born again and seeing him face to face. And during this time, he's transforming us into the image of his son. And so one of the things that giving thanks does is our attitude is we are the slaves. He is the master. He wants us to depend on him. He wants us to recognize that. And because everything comes from him, we have nothing to boast in of ourselves. We have a grandson. All my grandkids from two different families, we've got eight of them, are being homeschooled. And my oldest daughter is almost done with all of it. So she's been 20 years. But one of my grandchildren, Elliot, my second one, he's 18. He has become a professional pickleball player. And I know, who thought there was such a thing? But anyway, so I constantly remind him, Elliot, who gave you that ability? And he says, I know, Nana, because I've said this a million times. God's given it to me. And I said, and who gave you a mother that wanted to homeschool you? I know, Mom did. And I said, by homeschooling, you did school in the morning And you played pickleball all afternoon with your grandpa. Who allowed that? I know, God did. And I said, who gave you a grandpa that loved pickleball, that worked with you every day for about 5 years? I know. And I said, okay, so you have really nothing to boast in, right? And he says, right. And I just told him, I say this to him all the time. But I said, you know, Elliot, that this is just an avenue to get you to where he's really taking you. This is all about him. This is all about God. This is not about your pickleball. Because what we have found out, he's on the U.S. national team, so he's starting to travel internationally. We just moved him to Phoenix because that's kind of a hub of professional players. And he's only 18. He's one of the youngest ones. So he's playing with 20 and 30-year-olds. And he has found that most of them are not Christian. He's homeschooled, very naive, very, you know, sheltered. And he's constantly amazed at what the topic of conversations, because he's never had to deal with peer pressure. I mean, he's been homeschooled. And so, I will get into that more. But the purpose is, I want him to stay humble. And I pray for that all the time. It's not about you. It's not about pickleball. It's about the plans that God has for you, and the character he's building in you is for later. So just remember that. And so, no room to boast. It keeps us humble. Another reason to be thankful is it develops in us a whole new way of seeing the world. When you really, really understand James 1:17, that every good gift comes from God, oh my gosh, that makes everything so joyful. I mean, so joyful. One of the things, like I said, I've been praying about Elliot is we moved him to Phoenix. I'm praying for him to find a church home because he needs to be around Christian people. We all need to be around Christian people when we're out in the world. And so every week he tries a different church. And so Sunday he called me and he said, I think I found a church. Here's the website. Would you mind looking at it? Read through it. Tell me if you think it's okay. But he said, I really loved it. And I just welled up in tears because that's an answer to a prayer I have been praying for a month ever since he moved to Phoenix, is that he gets around Christian people. But when you recognize that everything is a gift from God, oh my gosh, you can go throughout your day and go, oh my gosh, because I know everything is from you, because I know that you, the motivation of everything you do is love, you are showing me how much you love me by this, by the cute things the kids do, by just getting in a warm bed at night. Just all the things that we enjoy is a gift from God, and that just increases your faith. Anyone can focus on the wrong thing. Anybody can focus on the injustices. But a Christian can find the good in all things, even the things that appear hard, even in rough circumstances, because we know that God will work those rough circumstances for the good, right? It's a whole different thing. So can the unbelieving world enjoy the good gifts of God? Absolutely they can, but not to the fullness that a Christian can. Because when the gift ends up being the thing, it can be so much more when you take it from the gift and you take it up. Oh, God, this is awesome. This is awesome. When you constantly are seeing the good things that God does, it just continues to build your trust in him. It continues to join you with him. He is so active in your life. He knows it. He's doing it. We're not always aware of it, and it increases. You know, to just experience the joy of your salvation through thanksgiving is just an amazing thing. It's also very contagious. When you're joyful, people are drawn to you. Have you ever been around somebody who is completely negative? And everything is a downer. Everything is complaining. I just always hope when I'm around somebody, and I try I ask the Holy Spirit to convict me anytime I want to complain. But you just hope that they're not wearing a cross necklace or a fish on their, because who wants to join up for that if everything is doom and gloom? So reason that out, what complaining really is. If everything comes from the Lord, when we complain, we are simply saying, God, you're not doing enough. You're not giving me enough. You're not active. You're complaining against God. And when you do that to other people, because you're his ambassador, who wants to sign up for that? Joy is contagious, and it comes from a thankful heart. So, number one, it develops. Thankfulness develops a change in how we think and how we see everything. Thankfulness keeps us humble. It builds trust when you see all that he really does for us. And there is joy in being thankful, and it reflects the goodness of God to others. I would say these are quite a few reasons why a God who loves us so much commands us to be thankful. It's not for him. We need it. We need to give it. And God notices. When I was writing through all this, you know, the greatest story about thankfulness is the 10 lepers. It's found in Luke 17. Leprosy was something that they had no cure for. It was a gift from God if anyone got cured for it. And one day Jesus was walking past these 10 lepers, and I think probably most of you know the story. They cried out and said, Master, have mercy on us. And when Jesus saw them, he responded. He said, go and show yourself to the priests, which is what somebody had to do in order to re-enter society. So all 10 of them headed out, but one turned around and said, thank you. And he fell on his face. 10 healings, 10 attitudes, but only one chose to act in gratitude. See, gratitude is what you feel. Thankfulness, giving thanks, is what you do about that feeling. Only one. And I thought to myself, God, is that what you see? Is that the percentage that you see among your people? I know unbelievers aren't going to, but among your people, 1 in 10? Now I'm wondering, if you had 10 children and you did wonderful thing for each one of them, and only one turned around and said thank you, you don't need their thanks. It's not going to add to or lessen who you are. But wouldn't you be concerned about the 9 who never thanked you? Wouldn't you be concerned about their heart? Yeah, I think so. I would be. So Jesus went on in this story, and this is how I know that he notices. He says, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Now, first of all, he's not talking about physical wellness, because all 10 of them were physically well. He's talking about that first word in Psalm 1, blessed. And remember from the first lesson, Jesus came not only to give us life, but to give it to the full. This is the fullness of life that he wants all of us to experience. He said, your faith has given that to you. This joy of your salvation is what he's talking about. And then he says, didn't I heal 10 of you? Where are the other 9? And what that tells me is God notices. God notices when we don't. And he so wants our hearts to be right. And it grieves him. Thankfulness comes when the focus isn't on the gift, but it's on the gift giver. Now, the second point today, what does that look like? And we're going to use Psalm 9, which is one of your readings for this week. Again, notice two things. He doesn't boast about himself. Everything is about the Lord. And notice that he doesn't just think about himself. He thinks about the whole nation. He says, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. You can almost feel the emotion when he says that. He's writing down as quickly as the specific things come to his mind. He's just so grateful. And he goes on in verse 3, "My enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before you, for you have upheld my right and my cause," the justice part. Sitting enthroned as the righteous judge, he's putting God in his place, all authority. He is the master, we are the servants. "You have rebuked the nations and destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Endless ruin has overtaken my enemy. You have uprooted their cities. Even the memory of them has perished. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment." He just couldn't get the words out fast enough. He was just so amazed at this God who just gave him victories in this battle. "He rules the world in righteousness and judges the people with equity." He's just so thankful that the wicked do not have the last word, and they will not. "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed." He's thankful when he sees people less fortunate, and that God is the same God for them as he is for him. "A stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." He is so thankful for God's character and for who he is. And then if we jump down to verse 20, "Strike them with terror, Lord. Let the nations know they are only mortal." David is putting himself and all mankind in their rightful place. They are the slaves, and he is on the throne. Two wise things that we see come out of here that we talked about in the first lesson. It's like he couldn't write fast enough. He saw everything as a gift. He was humbled by it, and he was amazed at the goodness of God. Now, I'm just going to tell you, we live in a very busy culture, and we have an enemy of our souls who influences our culture. If you don't know Christ, he's going to influence you. You're not going to have the discernment. He wants to keep us so busy that we don't have time to journal anything. But yet David, who was a king of a nation, somehow had the time to do this. And aren't we thankful that he did? We're reading it 2,000 years later. More than that. I mean, it's more than 2,000. I mean, it has touched a lot of people. This takes time to tend to your relationship with the Lord. You know what? If you get up at 6 and you don't have time, get up at 5. I'm just saying, you will be rewarded for that. God sees it. And he so wants that relationship. That's a thankful heart. So the third point, I'm just going to give you some practical ideas on how to develop a thankful heart. There's 9 of them. Because it's a spiritual discipline. It doesn't come natural. What comes natural is the complaining, right? We can all say, we've done it, we do it. And there is forgiveness for that when we see it. And I'm teaching on confession. So that's a whole nother subject, but it's coming. So first of all, before we ever do anything, we always pray about it. Always pray. We are more helpless than we have any idea. And so we need God's help to help us develop a thankful heart. So first, pray. Second, start learning to see everything as a gift. Every circumstance, even the bad, even if they were caused by our own sin, God can work them for good. That's what his promise is. So we can thank him for that. But everything is a gift. We just got back from the Northeast Saturday, and we did a lot of hiking in Maine and Vermont and New Hampshire, and just saw some beautiful, beautiful leaves. And my knees just were killing me. I ran for many, many years, and I'm paying for it now. And I was about to complain. Hector was walking behind me. And then some lady wobbled right next to me. And I mean, she was in more shape than I was. And I just said, oh God, thank you so much for giving me legs that I can still walk. And please be with that lady and the pain that she has in hers. You can always find something to be thankful for. Third, keep a gratitude journal. Write the things down so that when you're going through rough times, you can go back and say, oh yeah, he did this. He was here then. He was with me the whole time. I try not to go to sleep almost 100%. Before I close my eyes, I lay in bed and I think about my day and I think about three things that I can thank God for. And it just is a great way to go to sleep. It's a great way to know my security blanket is still there. And it just reminds me, keeps my focus on him. The fourth thing is it's important to verbalize your thanks. What comes out of your mouth is solidifying what's in your heart. So say it, man, I'm so thankful for this day. I'm so thankful that I've got these children. I'm so thankful for whatever it is. But verbalize it out loud. Psalm 92:1 says it's good to give thanks to the Lord, and it is good. The fifth thing, try to focus on all the things that you have. Contentment and gratitude go hand in hand. Philippians 4:11 to 13, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. See, he learned it. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. That's the right attitude. When you're attempting to prepare, switch your attention to what you have. The sixth thing, reflect on past benefits. As I said before, let that encourage you when you're going through rough times. Psalms 103:2, forget not all his benefits. Psalm 77, tell me if this has ever been you, if you've ever felt this way. It says, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? The author is going through a wait mode. We've all been there. And you begin to question your faith. And that's exactly where God wants you. He wants you, anything that he sees in your heart that you are having a hard time believing. Sometimes the pressure of trials, he just kind of sits back and he lets you work it all out. You know, and I mean, he's guiding, he's watching, but this is how he transforms us. It's through these pressure that the stuff he doesn't want in there comes out. And so what he chooses to do in verse 11 to 12, he goes on to say, remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. And boom, it changes his attitude. He's back into trust mode. I know you're here. I know your timing is perfect. And I trust that you will answer my prayer when the time is full. The seventh thing, serve others. If you want to develop a thankful attitude, serve others less fortunate than you. You leave there feeling, oh God, you have been so good to me, better than I deserve. Eight, pray with thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That means thanking him before you get an answer, because you trust him. That keeps your attitude and your eyes focused on him. And that kind of goes along with nine. During difficulties, especially, give him thanks. It shows and solidifies your faith and your trust in him. Because he promises to never leave you, never forsake you. And so that's a good time to adjust your attitude to a thankful one and to trust Him. It is the trials that we make the most progress in our spiritual growth, like I just said. And so we can thank Him in those too. Thankfulness is a choice. It's a discipline. It doesn't have to be something you feel. You choose to do it. You are co-laboring for the transformation of your heart when you give thanks. That's what you're doing. And the transformation happens a lot faster when we coordinate and obey the Lord. It just happens a lot faster. Otherwise, He has to take another route. So let's just co-labor with Him. It shifts our perspective from worry to trust, from discontentment to contentment, and from self-centeredness to God-centeredness. And I'll end with this. At the end of the day, if you are a Christian, we all have a story, all of us. Whether you came out of the womb and was slapped and out of your mouth, it was Jesus, or whether you just became a believer recently, we all have the same story. We are lost without God, and we are all headed for eternal damnation. That's how every cute little baby, I don't care how cute that baby is, there are some really cute ones, we are all destined for hell. I mean, that's the reality of the sin nature that we inherited. But God chose you. He chose each of you if you are a Christian. You didn't choose Him. He chose you first, because nobody can come to the Lord unless He first draws you. We always have a reason to give thanks for Him. If we knew the scope of what He has saved us from, we would be skipping out of here, just completely thankful. No matter what our circumstances are down here, He has chosen us to be His children, and He loves us. And praise the Lord. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God. Psalm 95, 6 and 7. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just give You thanks for Your sacrifice for each one of us. We know that we are helpless apart from You. We know we can't do anything of eternal value apart from You. And You are so willing to forgive and to be right there with us. Thank You for Your forever love. Help us to grow in our faith, grow in our love for You. Give us a thankful attitude, Lord. I pray for Your Holy Spirit to just tweak our consciousness throughout every single day and say, I did this because I love You. Help us to look at everything in life as a gift. We have so much to be thankful for. You're so good to us. And we just give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen.